Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Are you struggling with a belly that just won't budge, regardless of what you do or eat? And are you dragging ass every day, relying on caffeine or other chemicals to get you energized? And what about your potential as a man? What's the one thing you can do every week to positively impact every area of your life? This week, we're talking with Rob McNamara of FullStrength.com. If you're thinking you don't have the time or energy to train your body, then this is the exact time to start. Here's Rob to tell us more. Casey and I are in the studio today with Rob McNamara. He's a human performance specialist with Phillips Performance Nutrition. That's a lot of performance there. How you doing, Rob?
I'm performing very well.
Great. So today we got you in the studio because you're such a studly, strong, you're just the human specimen of strength and performance. So we want to translate that for our listeners. What is strength? What is fitness? We're going into that realm, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay. So what are some of these myths that are out there about fitness? If I go into a magazine store and I'm looking at the men's magazines, there's a lot of dudes with their shirts off and they got the six pack abs. Are those guys healthy? What's strength? How does that relate? Like, I feel like there's got to be something else other than just the six pack.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that came up is you mentioned the magazines and the photographs and are they healthy? And I think that the picture, the physique that we see just plastered everywhere is unrealistic and oftentimes unhealthy. You know, I mean, we're talking like 2-3% body fat.
That's not the picture of health, right?
That's not exactly healthy. Now, being lean and strong, for sure, yeah, you want to be healthy. But in terms of chasing the ideal of being this like chiseled cover model at all times, it's not a healthy thing for people to be metabolizing psychologically from my perspective. But
and Casey, we were talking earlier about some of these myths that are out there. What, name some of those. Let's put them up to the plate.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I always hear that, like, you know, lifting weights is for bodybuilders, or the only reason you go to the gym is because you're vain, you know, or only young guys can do this, you know.
Right.
You know, tell us a little bit about some of that and how true are these beliefs?
Yeah, so I think the underlying myth there is that fitness or strength training is for the body, and that's fundamentally just
for the body.
Yeah, it's just for the body.
Okay,
and that it's a pretty limited perspective, and it's unfortunate because it's missing all of the other benefits that you get. So, you know, it's exceptionally good emotionally. It does wonders for stress.
Strength training does wonders for stress.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so in terms of helping, you know, regulate the stress hormones of the body and helping you kind of get rid of stress for that might have been accumulated throughout the day, it's, you know, probably second to none in terms of strength training in particular. And then mentally, it's excellent for the brain. So one of the mechanisms that happens when you strength train or when you exercise in general is that you deoxygenate the blood. And why that's important is that the brain modulates how much oxygen goes into the brain. Because when you have supersaturated oxygen levels in the brain, you have all kinds of whacked out experiences, and that doesn't help you driving in the car and functioning at work. Like, we wouldn't hold a very...
It is fun, though.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah. But we wouldn't have a very good conversation right now. So when you exercise, what happens is you deoxygenate the blood, and that means that more blood can actually get up into the brain. And so you're bringing... every time you exercise or you train vigorously, you're washing the brain with all these nutrients because you have more blood flow.
Got it. So if I'm actually interested in being as sharp as I can be in my work or in my interactions with other people, being in a strength training or some kind of regular exercise program is going to serve that. Is
right.
that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, put Trip next to Trip. All right. And Trip on the right has trained. Trip on the left has not trained. All right. Trip on the left, or whichever. The untrained Trip is going to get his ass handed to him, hands down. In terms of like cognitive processing speeds, like 25% difference. Complex decision making, it's kind of important for most of us. There's like a 70% difference.
Wow.
Between somebody who's actually active and training and somebody who hasn't done anything. And those cognitive benefits only last a couple days after you've trained.
So it has to be regular.
Yeah, it has to be regular. But you don't know that you're in these cognitive compromised states when you haven't been training because you're compromised.
You know? It's the water you're swimming in, right?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. You just, you don't notice it. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's in terms of being at your best in work, in relationships, and then physically as well. I mean, it's a supreme advantage.
Yeah. So as I'm listening to this, I'm getting like, oh, I'm not working out, but this is helping me motivate. This is motivating me a little bit more other than just like, I want to look a little bit better. I want to feel a little bit better about what I look like. It's just like, holy shit, this is going to help me in all aspects in my job, in my work, if I'm really concerned about performance and showing up the best that I can be.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What about the best way to lose weight is cardio? Like, that's a huge one. Like, people that are overweight are going to be like, oh, I should get fit. And everyone says, I got to go run. I mean, right. what's the deal with that?
Yeah, well, moderate level intensity cardio, you're kind of moving on it and you get in that fat burning zone, and all the cardio machines, they've got those, like, get in your fat burning zone, and then you can do that for an hour. And you, from a metabolic standpoint, you'll burn more fat when you're in that state. But as soon as you get done doing cardio, your metabolism pretty much returns back to normal. And the reason why that it's called, you know, cardio, because essentially you're burning oxygen. Mm. You know, that's the primary fuel source, is you're burning oxygen. And it's great, you know, cardio is absolutely fantastic for the lungs and for the circulatory system. It's just, you know, you need some kind of cardio, but as a vehicle for losing fat, it's not very effective, because, you know, you can do an hour or even 3 hours, and as soon as you stop, your fat oxidation and the metabolism of the fat, it stops altogether.
So I'm really only burning fat for that 30 or 45 minutes or an hour I'm on the
Precisely.
Machine.
Okay.
Precisely. But you're saying strength training is different?
It's way different.
Okay.
So if you are doing strength training, what's going to happen is that you're primarily burning glucose, sugars from the muscle. All right. So you're not going to use a whole lot of fat as a fuel while you're strength training. But let's say you do 45 minutes of intense strength training. You know, last night I did an hour and 5 minutes, and it was a leg workout. I was going crazy. I mean, we're talking insanity. I'm not going to get into it, but
clean the walls right there.
Yes. So it, from that hour or 45 minutes of strength training, when you get done, you've broken the body down. You've depleted the muscles themselves, the fuel that's in the muscles. Your body has a lot of work to do to rebuild, refuel, and get ready for that same kind of stressor again.
And so it's not that you're burning fat during the workout. You're burning fat as the body puts itself back together again.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to have an elevated metabolism for probably at least 18 hours, sometimes longer.
Okay.
So you strength train once, and then you're going to have an elevated metabolism for, call it, 18 to 24 hours.
So that sounds like a bigger bang for the buck. If I've only got 30 minutes or an hour a day to get to this.
Yeah. You want to strength train with intensity to build lean muscle, essentially. And just that activity is going to burn way more calories and way more fat than you'll ever do, even if you're running like 5 miles a day.
Now, you just said intensity, like, and it had an edge to it. Define that intensity.
Yeah. Intensity is essentially how much work are you doing and how deeply are you pushing yourself to exhaustion. So really, how fully are you depleting the body of all of its reserves?
What's a good measure for that?
Well, essentially when you can't do any more.
So I want to actually do an exercise, and this isn't, but like I want to do an exercise to failure, essentially?
Pretty close. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want to take a number of your sets into that failure place, which is a great way to strengthen the mind, because you've got extreme discomfort. You've got this like, well, I've done good enough, and you got all these storylines, and can your focus penetrate through that? And then you keep going, you know, because 9 times out of 10, it's not the body that's failing at this point. It's mentally you're checking out and you've racked the weights and you're walking away and you never, you're just on autopilot. You just checked out and gave up.
Okay.
But physiologically, you've got more capacity to engage. So for you to really push your high levels of intensity in training, you got to be refining your mental focus and concentration.
So I can't just be sitting there, the TV's on, the music's on or whatever. I really have to be paying attention to my body.
Right.
And knowing like, hey, it wants to check out. It wants to shut down. I could go 4 or 5 more reps into failure, but I'm missing out on that's the juiciest part of the workout.
Some of the best benefits you get from strength training are from stressing the body beyond what it's capable of doing. Because that's sending a stimulus, hey, I need to grow, I need to be stronger. And that's what stimulates more muscle, more growth, higher metabolism, and then you just naturally burn fat.
And just so we know, when you guys talk about failure, you mean I can't get this up without help.
Right. Yeah. I can't lift it anymore. I'm completely tweaked. Like I can't, but in a healthy way.
Right. Right.
The muscle's done for now.
Right.
You're going to want a spotter for that.
You
do not try this at home without assistance.
Yeah. You want a spotter and you want to.
Okay. So this helps set the stage. This reminds me of the conversation that you and I had with Dan Taslitz, where he talked about how adversity and stress was a great training ground for what's possible with my body, what's possible for me. Actually gives me more clarity when I'm being overwhelmed with sensation and stress, essentially, that I can actually take a breath in that moment and persevere, keep going.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of a mental skill. It's in psychology, we call it self-authoring. So developing the skill to self-author and actually decide how you're going to show up regardless of what's happening in the moment is tremendous advantage, because not many people have it. Mm. It's one of those prized cognitive skills in terms of adult development.
And what you're really saying there is I have choice in this moment. Things are really hard, but I have choice in this moment to keep going.
Right. And to stay present, stay focused, stay on task, and not to get checked out and distracted or, collapse in the face of adversity.
This sounds like if I'm putting myself in the seat of some of our listeners out there, like, fuck, man. Like, this just sounds like a mountain to climb to get out of bed and put myself through something even more difficult. What can we do? It seems like motivation's a factor. I get that that if I do this work, that I'll be sharper in work or I'll be sharper in other areas of my life, but can we talk about motivation? This doesn't sound that like it's that much fun to me right now. So,
well, I mean, let's talk about joy then. I mean, and this is my bias, but I'd love to hear your perspectives, is that joy arises out of a full engagement with the moment. That's where happiness, true passion emerges, is when you're fully engaged in the moment and you're really alive and you're pushing yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's when things are really joyful. Mm-hmm. And when we have kind of an equilibrium, if you will, where your capacity is pretty damn close to the demands that are being met, okay? So when those two get close, when your like highest reaches of your potential right now match up with the demands that are hitting you right now, you get into this very joyful flow state. And that is incredibly enjoyable. And most people spend most of their lives chasing those kinds of experiences, mm-hmm. to be honest. Now, if you happen to encounter a stressor or some problem in your life that just completely, it's well beyond your means, it just kicks your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for most people, that's life, you know.
their problems and their challenges are just too far beyond their own edge.
Yes. Okay. For many people, they don't even see the unseen demands on their life. They're not even able to actually see them clearly and actually confront them. And so you're kind of being blindsided, and it's very frustrating.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like this wave is coming over you, and you know, what are you going to do? You're kind of just fighting for air.
Yeah.
But so joy is not that experience. Joy is really being able to meet the demands of your life with a full engagement. And so training is kind of a practice ground for that. And so every single set, every single rep is an opportunity to groom and practice. How do I stay fully engaged, irrespective of what's going on? And how do I meet the demands of, even if it's just pushing the weight? You know, how do you show up in that moment, and how do you create that flow state experience of really deeply engaging, which is, it's just naturally enjoyable.
I'm just, you know, as you're talking about this, I started thinking about Fight Club, which I saw again, you know, recently, and those guys being challenged, like really being challenged, and they'd roll out of a fight and just start laughing giddily. But there was that joy state of being met, being really challenged, being fully expressed, like given it all, even though it was maybe in an unhealthy environment of fighting,
yeah.
in that sense. But here's an opportunity to go in and actually test yourself on a daily basis and really show up and persevere and find that state that you're talking about, that flow, joy state.
Right. And that's going to help you develop skills outside from a cognitive standpoint that show up in relationships and you know, your vocation and your work outside of the gym. It's going to change things tremendously because you can think of strength training as a microcosm of the macrocosm of life. So whatever obstacles you encounter in the actual gym and training, those are going to be the exact same obstacles that you're going to be facing in the larger macrocosm of your life.
So it seems like a guy needs to make a shift in his life. If he's kind of just plundering along, he's going to his 9-to-5 job and he's just kind of tolerating his relationship. Can he, I'm just imagining like going to the gym could be another burden, or it could be a place where he's like, you know what, I'm going to turn it up here. And this is actually could affect how I live my life too. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you definitely have the opportunity to create exercise as another burden, or you can use it as an opportunity to create a space and a practice to unlock and unleash really your passion for life.
I love that. I've heard you guys talk about, you know, one of the questions they ask is, when's the last time you exerted maximal muscle force?
Yeah.
And for a lot of guys, you know, at 30, my age, 31, it's been a while. It's been since, you know, we were on the high school baseball team or we were in college, you know, and we really pushed it. If you're not pushing it, you know, in the gym or, you know, physically, maybe you're not really giving it all in your life too, is what it sounds like I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, you're definitely not. Yeah. Definitely. I would say I would be shocked if you are giving it your all and your perceived all in work or in relationship, and you're neglecting this foundational vehicle of the body. Like, you might think, oh, I'm giving it my all, but really you're just toying with yourself, you know. But you know, but I spend 75 hours, you know, in my executive position and I'm kicking ass and, you know, I'm top of my reporting and whatever, you know, you might think I'm the man, but you don't know shit is really what it boils down to. You've completely sold out and you're overcommitted, overextended. You have no recovery, no ability to relax, recover, rejuvenate. And so if you don't know relaxation, recovery, rejuvenation, on a daily and a weekly cycle, then you have no idea what your true intense engagement is.
Well, let's talk about that recovery, because I'm imagining I work out in the morning and I give it my all. I'm torched the rest of the day. How can I show up and be fully present? And if I'm sitting there like, oh my God, I can't move my fucking legs.
Right.
You know, like if I'm actually like I'm pain or I can barely lift up the coffee cup to move it on the table. Like, is there a balance there?
Oh, definitely. You know, if you're overtraining, then you're going to kind of, you know, what you described sounds like, you know, you're lethargic and you're like worn down and you're slow and you're just, you know, you're heavy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and you don't have motivation. Those are all signs of like, you've gone too far.
Okay. So like being in the zone is actually, I'm energized in my day.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. You should have a lot, you should have a reservoir of energy from your training practice.
Okay. That helps me. You know, I'm just imagining being a puddle on the ground the rest of the day after working out with Rob or something.
Yeah. Right? No. And it's one of those things. If you think of energy as a circle, you know, and if you want to have more energy, you need to expand the whole circle. So kind of the bottom part of the circle would be taking energy in, and the top part of the circle would be putting energy out. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people want to have more energy. And so they might rest and rest and rest and rest, or they might do the other thing. I need to do more. So they do more, do more, do more. But we really need to kind of open up the conduit, if you will. And I just spilled all over myself. I love water in my crotch. No.
Here you go. That
should, but so
there you go. You hold on just a second.
But let me finish the piece on this conduit because it is important.
Okay.
And that if we want to have more energy to bring to our other parts of our lives, we need to learn how to expend more energy. So we're kind of creating a bigger circle, you know, with each time we train. So we're learning how to put more energy out and then how to take more energy in.
Yeah, I'm getting like, well, if I'm the guy and I'm married and I got the kid in my life, man, I just don't have the space. It's actually like create more space in part. And one of the ways to do that is to create is through strength training or some practice that,
right.
that challenges us to expend more energy and then receive more energy.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like making a bigger pie.
Right.
There's more to go around.
Exactly. Exactly. And so by opening up the funnel of how much energy you pour out with training, that influx naturally happens. It happens between every set. So, you know, if you're practicing strength training in a really deep way, you're really exerting and then you're really resting in between each set. You're not having that kind of social conversation. You're not checking out ESPN. You're not like, you know, checking your phone. You're not like problem solving for a future meeting. You're just resting and recovering in that moment in a deep way.
Mm. I want to get more into that, but I also want to make sure I've got the point right where it's like, if I'm swimming in a world that I don't have enough time and I don't have enough energy and I'm spent as it is, that's actually the point where I want to step in and be like, and make a commitment to do some serious training because that's going to expand my capacity. If I want more time, more spaciousness, more energy, then training will serve that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It definitely can. Here's the caveat
No caveats.
I'm
just kidding.
caveat's not the right word.
We only work with absolutes here.
Okay. The experience that I don't have enough time or I don't have enough energy, those are actually fundamentally a symptom of you not self-authoring at a higher level. You know, you are actually being in reactivity. You're actually in a place of submission to the demands of life. You're not dictating what you're bringing to life anymore.
Hmm.
And so you're already, you know, the wave is already crashing well over your head and the surfboard's nowhere to be found.
You're beyond your edge.
Right. And so the only way, you know, for you to develop that capacity is through a specific defined practice where you practice it. You know, we call it a practice. You practice, okay, I'm going to show up and this is what I'm going to bring. And this is how I'm going to be, and so on and so forth, and irrespective. And then that shifts the relationship with time and energy completely.
Okay.
You know, now time and energy are tools for me to use and not things that use me.
Wow. So we started this conversation around just like, hey, is strength training cool and how can it make me better? But you're saying like, this is going to affect my whole outlook on life, my whole outlook on time. My time and what I choose to do with my time, what I choose to do with my energy.
Right.
It's increasing the pie, so to speak. There's more to work with.
Yeah.
But it's also like my choice around where I spend my time and energy.
Right. Right.
Wow. Okay.
And that obviously connects much, much more with where most people really value, what most men really value, is what we're talking about right now, because it intimately connects with what is their freaking purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What do they really want to do with their life?
Mm-hmm.
And looking like a cover model doesn't really fit many people's passion for life.
It happens for me naturally.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's why
I'm in radio.
But yeah, you know, I mean, you can just feel it, like how this practice all of a sudden becomes very relevant. Not just because it makes you look good, or, you know, you will have better sex, but, you know, it helps you develop the skills and capacities for you to show up more fully in the rest of your life.
And that helps me get more and more motivated. Like, I'm in the seat of like, why in the hell would I want to do this? Now I'm getting more and more motivated. Wait a second. This is getting me online to show up better in the workplace, or to show up better in my interactions. But this is also giving me more space and more choice.
Yeah.
To really pursue life from a place of like, what in the hell am I on this planet to do? Like,
right.
What am I here for?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is big.
Tune in next week as we continue our talk with Rob McNamara, as he dispels all the beefcake vanity myths associated with strength training.